It almost looks small. And I'm curious about the word influence. Some things have little influence, some things have great influence in our lives, right? And so thinking about the word influence, I decided to look up the definition. The definition for influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something, or the effect itself. The capacity to have an effect. There are so many things in this world that have influence in our lives, that have an impact, that have an effect. It molds us, it shapes us. A few weeks ago, I spoke on inspiration. We're really a product of what we have allowed to inspire us to be who we are today. Could be people, places, things, circumstances in our lives. All sorts of things give us inspiration to do and be and say and all these things that we are. But the word influence kind of goes along with that. And the truth of it is, just like anything else, you choose, you decide what's going to have an impact in your life. And so before I get too deep into this, I want to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 22. If you want to turn there. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, and abstain from every form of evil." Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray your blessing on this message this morning. God, I ask that you will speak to our hearts and that you will change our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. So rejoice always and pray without ceasing. Now, we all know that there are circumstances in life and things that happen and people that come along the way that cause us perhaps not to have that feeling of wanting to rejoice. Because we allow circumstances and things and people that come along our way to have an influence in our life and take away our joy. I like to use I go to a fatherhood group and over in over in Seneca County, and one day there was this young man that was just complaining about all the people in his life and how they've had an impact on his life and how, you know, everything was just a mess for him, and he wasn't as successful as he thought he would be in the areas where he thinks he should be successful and all these things, but it was always blaming on all these other people and all these other things. And the Lord gave me just this little idea of a bus. I've shared this with some of you. Maybe you heard me say it already, but this idea of a bus. Your life is a bus. And everybody that's around you and everybody that you have contact with are on your bus. Yeah. You heard this, right? I did it on Wednesday night. Yeah. Well, for those who weren't here on that Wednesday night, who's driving your bus? Paul says, me. Well, if you're driving your bus, then you're to blame for where it goes and what it does and where you find yourself. You're in charge of who gets on and who gets off. You're in charge who you allowed to ride the bus. But you know what? This young man that I'm talking about, he was allowing somebody else to drive his bus. Well, this person in my life caused me to do this. No, they didn't. They may have had some influence in your life because you allowed them to have some influence in your life and you let them drive your bus to some place you didn't want to go. Why do we do that? Think about it just for a moment. What's going on in your world? Are you allowing somebody else to drive your bus to some place you don't want to go? If you are, march right up to the front of the bus and kick them out of the driver's seat. Say, hey, this is my bus. You can ride in the back if you want to, or you can get off. But I'm driving my bus where I want my bus to go. Drive your own bus, man. Rejoice always. If you want to rejoice always, then rejoice always. Don't allow other things in the driver's seat to cause you, you know, funny thing about buses, they have rear-view mirrors. And unfortunately, sometimes we get stuck looking in the rear-view mirror where we've already been. And it drives us crazy. Like, oh, man, I can't believe I just hit that pothole back there. Oh, that pothole. Yeah, well, that's behind you. Forget about it. Let's look at the smooth road ahead. And maybe avoid some of those potholes next time, right? Geneva's full of potholes. You think Geneva's bad? Go drive around New York City. Oh, my gosh. You lose a car down there. You lose your bus. Tip the thing over down there. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. That's a hard one. Lord, I thank you for this road I'm on. I thank you for what's going on in my life, the things that have an impact, the things that have influence on me, the things that, God, I realize I allow to have influence on me. I thank you, God, that you give me my own will, my own power. And sometimes, like I said earlier, that power is really too much for me. I need God to take control, because when I'm in control, things go astray. But I do have the power to decide what I allow to have to influence my life and have an impact on my life. There are certain men in my life that I allow to have an impact. There are certain men in my life that I don't listen to, because I know they're going to steer my bus off the road, drive it off a cliff. I'm pausing because my mind just, I saw Falls in the back. I know he's been working on his bus for like 10, 15 years. He's converting a bus into a camper. That bus is going to go where Falls wants that bus to go, and it's going to look like Falls wants it to look. Hopefully Celia has some say in that, because she's going to ride on his bus. Hopefully, I don't know if you're ever going to be in the driver's seat of that bus, Celia, but rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's one of those portions of scriptures that I've mentioned this often. Highlight it, circle it, asterisks are all around it, whatever it is you got, you know, stars, put a bookmark in there. Anything that says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, that's important. This is God's will for you. That you would rejoice always, that you would pray without ceasing, and in everything you would give thanks. That's God's will for you. And so you choose, you know what, God? I'm going to let you drive my bus for a little while, and I'm going to rejoice in you. And I'm going to give thanks to you. And I'm going to pray without ceasing, which means what? It means I'm going to be in constant communication with God while he's driving my bus. Right? We've all seen that bumper sticker. You know, God is my co-pilot. I don't want him to be my co-pilot. I want him to be the pilot. Let him have control. That's his will. Now, verse 19 says, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. It says, verse 21 says, test all things, hold fast what is good. Test all things and hold fast what is good. You go down a road that wasn't good, don't hold on to that. Some of us have gone down some roads that weren't so good, right? And we have allowed them to have influence in our life and an impact in our life that even affects us today. But it says to hold fast on that which is good. Well, if the road you were on was not good, let it go. Some roads are really good. You ever driven down one of those roads? Matter of fact, my wife and I went on vacation here a couple weeks ago. There was a worst road ever that we drove down. It was a dirt road. It took us to a beautiful place. I went down intentionally because I wanted to get to this beautiful place, but I had to go down a bumpy road to get there. Sometimes that's just how it is. God does have a way of bringing us to a beautiful place at the end of a really bad road sometimes. But there's a road that we took to get from where we were to where we went that I want to go back there. Like, wow, this is beautiful. I want to hold on to that. I took notes. I wrote down the route that I took because I want to be able to find it again. You ever been down a road before that you'd like to find again? Yeah, there's some of those. I want to hold on to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil, it says. Two verses here I want to just highlight real quick. Verse 19 and verse 20. Do not quench the Spirit. Talking about the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Prophecies is a spoken word. Well, the spoken word, the word is Jesus. We know that. Do not quench the Spirit and do not... Oh, did I misspell something? I misspelled holy? Are you serious? Man, I tried hard today not to do that. I did that last week, bro. Thank you, editor. Do not quench the Spirit and do not quench prophecies or the Word of God. Why not? Why not quench the Spirit? Why not despise prophecies? The answer is because of the influence that they will have on your life if you allow them to be active in your life. What is the influence of the Holy Spirit in your life? Is it according to your will or according to God's? What is the influence of the Word of God in your life? Is it according to your will or is it according to God's? At the jail the other night, I was speaking with these women and explaining to them about the influences that they've had in their lives, the people that they've had in their lives that they have allowed to enable them to wind up in jail. You're here because you have allowed influences in your life to bring you here. Why praise God for every one of you that are sitting here in this church this morning? Because you didn't quench the Spirit and you didn't quench the Word of God and you found yourself, you have allowed the Spirit of God and the Word of God to influence you to the point where you came to this building. And you're sitting among friends, people who will love you, people who will pray for you. Look at the person next to you and say, you know what? You're a good influence on me. Huh? You inspire me. But don't quench the Spirit and don't quench prophecies. Why? Because you need their influence in your life. When you quench something, you put it out. You shut it down. When you despise something, you don't pay any attention to it. You push it away. But God wants to have influence in our life. And the way that He does that is through His Holy Spirit and through His Word. And so how much influence are you allowing in your life today? How much of an impact is God having on you and your daily walk, the way you think, the things you do? Who has the most influence in my life? That's a question I want you to ask yourself. Who has the most influence in my life? Because every single one of us, we're influenced by all sorts of things, all sorts of people. Who has the most influence in your life? That shapes you, that molds you, that tells you when to put the blinker on and turn the bus down this road or that road, or just stay the course, go straight. Or maybe sometimes you got to put the thing in reverse and get out of where you're at and go another direction. Who has the most influence in your life? If Jesus is the most influential person in your life, everything about you will be about Him. But if the most influential person in your life is not Jesus, you will be like that person. Think about it. Who has the most influence? We will allow people to have influence in our lives to cause us to do things that we wouldn't normally do. Well, they're doing it, so I guess I can. I shared the same thing. I had two groups the other night at the jail, and I was talking to this one young man who said to me, he said, "You know what? I'm getting out pretty soon." I said, "I hope I see you when you get out." And he said, "Well, you know, I'm kind of afraid, because if I run into so-and-so, I know that so-and-so, and every time so-and-so has been arrested, he's with me." I happen to know both these men. And I said, "So you understand what I'm talking about here? His influence in your life is not a good thing, and your influence in his life is not a good thing, is it?" "No, it's not." And then I encouraged him, "Make sure that Jesus Christ is the one who has the most influence over your heart. Otherwise, it's not going to turn out very well." Now, you all, we're sitting here in this church this morning. We're not in jail at the moment. Some of you may have been there before, maybe. But we have an opportunity right here to let Jesus Christ be the main source of influence in our lives so that we don't end up in trouble. And it's not always just jail, but I mean just trouble with God. Anybody want to be in trouble with God? No. I don't want to be in trouble with God. Matter of fact, God, if I'm driving my bus someplace where there's trouble, then flatten all my tires and don't let me go any farther. But think about who has the most influence in my life. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. Paul was explaining right then and there, you know what? Jesus Christ is my source of influence, and he's the one I will follow. I'm not going to live my life anymore. I'm going to live his. Are we willing to get to that place where he's that much of an influence in our life, where we will no longer live the lives that we're living according to our own self, but we will live his life here on this earth? Jesus was Paul's major source of influence. He was the number one influence in Paul's life, Jesus Christ. Later on in Galatians, Paul rebukes the Galatians for allowing other influences that were contrary to the gospel. He says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" In other words, who has influenced you? "That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified." What was going on is there was some Jews that were saved, but they were still trying to convince the Gentiles that they needed to follow the Jewish customs in order to, you know, be holy and saved. And by the way, I'd like to caution you, there is a church up in Walcott that's preaching the same exact thing, that you got to follow all the old Jewish laws in order to be holy. It's like, you know what? That just flies in the face of everything that Jesus did. And so Paul says, "Who influenced you that you should not obey the truth?" Think about it for a moment. You're going to go to work tomorrow. Are you going to go about, you know, whatever it is that you find yourself doing tomorrow? And the people that you work with may have some sort of influence in your life. Are you one of those who, and of course, I'm going to step on some toes. Are you one of those that when you get to work, your language isn't quite the same as it is on Sunday morning in church? Why is that? Is it because you've allowed your coworkers to have influence on you? Well, how about you let Jesus be the main source of influence, even in the workplace, even around wherever it is you find yourself, whatever it is you're doing, so that His life is lived through you and not your own. On that subject, I heard a report the other day. They did studies and they found out that people are actually stronger when they swear. It's like, what? They took all these study groups and they did these strength tests and they found out that these people that when they would swear, they would be stronger. It's like, you know, I don't want anything of the world. I don't want anything that, remember what it said, abstain from evil? I don't want anything in this world. I don't want to find strength in anything from this world. If I'm going to be stronger, I want to be because of Jesus Christ and His influence in my life. Look at Galatians chapter 5. We go over this portion of Scripture quite often. This has like been one of my favorites. I can't get away from it. Starting in verse 7. Again, Paul rebuking the Galatians, says, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" In other words, who influenced you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from Him who calls you. This influence does not come from Jesus. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. What's that saying? One person of bad influence can ruin the whole place. There's a reason why. What? One bad apple. There's a reason why we are supposed to be attentive, a reason why we're supposed to test all the spirits and be discerning. Because if you allow one person to come in and have influence in a way that is outside of God, guess what? The whole place is going to go awry and run off the rails. I've seen it. You've all seen it, right? There's been some great moves of God that weren't moves of God. I'm just going to tell it like it is. One person falls down on the floor. Now everybody's got to fall down on the floor. Now, I've seen people fall on the floor under the power of the Holy Spirit, but I've seen a whole lot of people fall on the floor just because, oh, this is what everybody else is doing. In fact, one of the pastors in town that I had breakfast with, he tells a testimony how when he first got saved, you know, the pastor would come along and pray over people and they'd fall down on the floor. So he thought, well, that must be what you do. And every time you fell down on the floor, somebody would be there to catch you. You know, we used to do that stuff, right? Somebody would catch you and make sure you, you know, landed okay, safe and all that. And then he went to this conference one time, and that was just what he knew. So he thought, well, that's what you do when you get prayed for. You just fall backwards, somebody catch you, it's okay. He went to some conference, and he fell backwards when he got prayed for, and there was nobody there to catch him. He smacked his head on the ground. And he heard God say, "What are you doing?" He said that was the last time he ever let a pastor push him over. And he realized he was allowing the influence of what everybody else was doing to influence him. Now, if somebody prays for you and you fall out under the Spirit, God bless you. But if you see that happen in somebody, don't desire that. You desire God. It's called experiential worship. Don't worship an experience. Worship God. You worship God, you'll get plenty of experience, trust me. Where was I? Influence. Hallelujah. Galatians 5, verse 7. You ran well. Verse 8, who persuade This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear this judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have not been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when he says you shall love your neighbor as yourself, where did he get that from? He got it from Jesus. Remember? The Pharisees said, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment of all? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Paul was influenced by Jesus Christ when he said that. Verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, in other words, if you are influenced by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then it talks about the works of the flesh, what they are, and then it talks about what the fruits of the Spirit are in verse 22, what they are. And he says in verse 24, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Verse 26 there saying, let us not become conceited, provoking one another. What's that mean? Influencing one another to do something other than what the Spirit would have us do. But verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, let the Spirit of God, let Jesus Christ, let God Himself be your influence. Last slide. Before we take communion this morning. If God, and I'm talking about God, who's God? God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Pentecost Sunday is coming up pretty soon. I was at a pastor's lunch the other day, and one of the young guys said, hey, can anybody explain the Trinity? And one of the older guys are like, good luck. I remember when I first got saved, that was one of the most confusing things. What are you talking about? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they're all one. What do you mean? What's that look like? And the best way I can explain it is look in the mirror. Hopefully when you look in the mirror, you see God. How many of you see God when you look in the mirror? Not too many of you. But the Bible tells us that we were created in God's image, right? If you look in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 1, verse 26, God said, God as in one, let us, as in plural, make man in our image. Okay, so look in the mirror. What do you see? You see a body. You see flesh. Is that you? Not totally. Because inside you have a spirit as well. Okay, is the spirit inside? Is that you? Not totally. And you also have a mind, right? Or a soul. Is that you? Not without the spirit or the body, right? So if you want to understand the Trinity, look in the mirror. You take away my spirit, I'm gone. You take away my body, my flesh, I'm gone. You take away my soul, my mind, I'm no longer me, right? I need all three to be me. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, that's God. Jesus is the flesh. Holy Spirit is the spirit. And God, you know, I kind of see God as the mind, the authority of it all. I don't know if that helps you or not, but this I know, I want God to be the primary source of influence, of the primary source of impact in my life. No other person of influence will be able to draw God away if I let Him be my source. Think about your lives. Think about what's going on in your life. Think about where your bus is headed. Who's driving it? You know what, God? I will gladly sit in the back of the bus and let you drive. Whether I go down a bumpy road, whether I go down a curvy road, whether I go down a beautiful road or something that's just nice and straight and easy to handle, God, if you're driving the bus, I know I'm going to be okay. There's a song we used to sing years ago. Remember this song? Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this world will turn strangely dim. When God is the major, the primary source of influence in your life, all the rest of the things of the world, it's like, it doesn't even matter. I got Jesus, and he's going to lead me. He's going to help me. He loves me. He's going to take me. He has promised me an eternal life. Hallelujah. There's something greater. Can I help you understand something today? There's something greater than what we experience today. That should give us joy. Say that with me. There's something greater. Amen. And it's found in Jesus. Let's get ready to take communion this morning. I have a couple people help pass out communion. Now, different churches do different things. I know we have some visitors. I don't know where you're from. I don't know what your background is. If you're a believer, follower of Jesus Christ, and you want to take communion, you are welcome to take communion here. Communion isn't about the establishment. It is about God, his death and his resurrection for us. And so we invite you to take communion with us. We don't have anything magical. We just have a cracker and a little thing of juice. And so if your heart is pure before God, then please be welcome and partake communion with us. These gentlemen are going to pass it out. Yeah, they'll bring it to you. No, that's okay. Stay comfortable, sister. That's all right. We're going to bring it to you. We're going to serve you. Heavenly Father, as we begin, we prepare our hearts for communion this morning. I pray, God, that we would search our hearts and find what type of impact or what type of influence we have allowed you to have in our lives. And Lord, if you have not been number one, then forgive us. We repent today. And we take communion because, God, this is what you told us to do. And this ordinance, Lord God, has survived the church all these, a couple thousand years. Communion with you, fellowship with you, drawing closer to you, that is what we're here for, Lord God. And so if there's any among us that have sin in our lives, please forgive us. But God, we come before you because we want to know you more and have communion with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Gentlemen, if you want to pass these out. Again, if you're not comfortable, you don't have to take communion. If you desire, then please, you're welcome to take communion with us. Praise the Lord. First Corinthians tells us in chapter 11, verse 27, it says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let every man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment on himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And it says, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. It was Paul giving the Corinthians church some instruction about communion. And he said, do a self-examination. I'm not here to judge anybody whether you're worthy of communion or not. Only you know that. And that's why I say, if you're comfortable this morning taking communion with us, then please, you're welcome to do so. It's interesting that right after that passage in 1 Corinthians, is you come to chapter 12 and it talks about spiritual gifts and unity. Spiritual gifts, things that the Holy Spirit influences you to do. What has the Spirit of God impact? What has the impact of the Spirit of God been on you? Are you responding to it? Are you hearing His voice? Are you allowing His influence to shape you and mold you and become who God has called you to be? Understand, God has called you to be. He called you into existence at conception. He called you into life at birth. Unfortunately, we were also called to death because of the sin in our lives, but at the cross, Jesus called us to everlasting life. You are called by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Paul received from the Lord this ordinance. And we also receive from the Lord this ordinance. It's God's influence in our life. It's the influence of Jesus Christ in our lives that instructs us to take communion together. So let's do that. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now he mentions there, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Remember what we talked about a few minutes ago, where some of the apostles were out preaching that they had to go back to the Old Testament laws and rules. Jesus said, no, there's a new covenant in my blood. We are washed clean. Our sins are forgiven. Why? Because his blood was shed for you and me. God, I thank you that you shed your blood for me. That your blood was a ransom for my soul. That by faith and believing in you, I never have to die because you died for me. Father, I thank you for everlasting life. In the new covenant that is in your blood, and we partake and commune with you together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Stand with me, church. I want you to think about who is the primary source of influence in your life. Because that's going to determine everything. It's going to determine where you go, what you do, how you feel, what you say, what you believe. There are people that believe the craziest things because they've allowed somebody to influence them in a crazy manner. Let Jesus Christ be the primary source of influence today. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. I thank you, God, that you don't want us to be ignorant. But Lord, you want to have influence in our lives greater than even what we understand right now. Again, Lord, forgive us for allowing people, places, and things to have an influence on us in a negative way. Help us, God, to allow your influence to bring us to that place where we will rejoice always, where we will give thanks for all things, and that we will be ever in communication with you. as I've already prayed, God, come into our lives and change us. The influence that you have should be evident, not just in what I know, but evident in what I say, evident in what I do. The world should be able to see that you are my source of influence. And so I pray today that your influence over myself and each one in this congregation would be such that we would trust you, would be such, God, that we would love you, and would be such that we would share that love with our neighbor. Bless each one here today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Greet one another this morning before we leave. If anyone needs prayer, come right up to the front and we will pray for you. We'll be back here tonight. We have our final lesson on the Life Discipleship Program. Have a great day. Try not to get caught in the rain.